So today I would like to continue what we're talking about, the church. What is the church according to the Bible? We said that it's the church is a building, like a temple, and the pillar and foundation of the truth. So the word is central. We said the church is the body of Christ. Everybody is the Holy Spirit gives gifts to all. Everybody is important. And he's the head. Jesus is the head of the body. And therefore, he directs everything by the Spirit of the living God. We also said that the church is a family on a mission. And we talked about the church as a family, but we didn't get to the point about the mission. So this morning, as you'll see in your bulletin, we're going to focus on the church as a community of disciples on a mission. So the first point, again, following in the bulletin, is that the Father and the Son have a mission. The Father and the Son have a mission, which they fulfill through the church. Let's look in Acts 26, verse 22 and 23. Paul's preaching here, and he says, "But God has helped me to this very day, so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles." So he's saying this is very much like Luke 24. We've talked about that before. Paul is saying the same thing there, that he's saying that the Father has a plan. That plan is revealed in the Old Testament, and he refers to it here. He says, "I'm not preaching anything. I'm preaching the gospel." But he's defending himself. He's in a court, and he's defending himself before kings and Jews. And he's saying, "I'm just preaching what the Old Testament says. I'm preaching what I'm not going beyond what Moses and all the prophets said." So that reference is a reference to the Father's plan. He revealed his plan, what he wanted to accomplish through the prophets and through Moses. And Paul is preaching that plan. That's all he's saying. And this was the plan. Same thing as in Luke 24 when Jesus said, "This is what the scripture says about me, that the Christ would suffer. He would die for our sins and he would rise from the dead. And then repentance and forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed to all nations beginning in Jerusalem." That's Luke 24. This is very similar. The Messiah would die. He would rise. But as the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light to all nations. That's the plan. That's a summary. Jesus says, this is what the Old Testament is about. In a nutshell, he's giving a really good Bible lesson. He says, it's all about me. It's all about Christ. And this is what Jesus is going to do. Die for our sins, rise from the dead, and then proclaim the gospel of salvation, light to all the nations. That's the Father's mission. This is the mission of the Father, all the way back to Isaiah and even before. So the Father has a mission. And this is the message of light, this proclamation of the gospel, is a reference to mission. So it's all fulfilled through Jesus. So the Father has a mission revealed in the Old Testament, which is fulfilled through Jesus, and the two of them fulfill it through the church. That's the first point, and that's what we see in Scripture. So when we talk about the gospel of salvation, the gospel of light, Jesus saves us all, this is a plan that goes back hundreds of years before the New Testament. This is what God the Father had on his heart for centuries before Jesus came. And Jesus came to accomplish that. But if you look at this, it says, Jesus came to proclaim, as the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim the message of light to his own people. Well, who's doing the proclamation here? Jesus is in heaven, but Paul says, no, Jesus will proclaim light. But it's Paul who's doing the proclamation. So the obvious point is that Jesus fulfills the Father's mission through the church. It's through the proclamation of Paul. Jesus is not there. So our mission that we have, when we're looking for what is the mission of the church? We're a community of disciples on a mission. Where does that mission come from? It has roots all the way back to the Old Testament, all the way back to Isaiah and even before. God has a plan. The Father has a mission. Acts chapter 13, verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. So Paul's preaching again. Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. "We had to speak the word of God to you first," referring to the Jews. "Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." So Paul and Barnabas are preaching the gospel. The Jews reject it. And Paul says, okay, we'll go to the Gentiles. And then he quotes Isaiah, Isaiah 49, verse 6, as a justification for why is this gospel of God's salvation going to the Gentiles? Because it was always God's plan that Jesus would be the light to the nations, to the Jews, but not just to the Jews, a light to all the nations. And that God's salvation for the nations would go to the ends of the earth. That's what's going on in the preaching of the gospel. And he's quoting Isaiah 49 to back it up. So light here is, Jesus is the light. It's in a person. We've seen the same quote when we talked about Jesus, baby Jesus, in Christmas. Simeon comes up in the temple and says, he is a light to the nations and for the glory of the Jews. So again, they're both making a reference to Isaiah. Jesus is fulfilling that prophecy in Isaiah 700 years before his birth, that the Messiah, Jesus, would come and be a light to the nation. This is the Father's mission being accomplished through the Son, and they both accomplish it through the preaching of the gospel in the church, here through Paul and Barnabas. So light here, he's talking about this message of light. Jesus is going to be a light for the salvation of the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So it's for all nations. And so the light that we're talking about, this message of light, is a message of salvation. It's about salvation. This quote is from Isaiah 49. If you go back to Isaiah 49, it actually says, my salvation. It's the Father's salvation. So that's the mission of the Father. He has that plan in the Old Testament. And then again, we see the same thing, is that this prophecy applies to Jesus. He says about the Lord, who was going to be a light to the nations. But then Paul says, the Lord commanded us. And then he quotes this verse that applies to Jesus. What's going on? Jesus is still, that's the whole point in Acts. Luke says that he's writing all the things that Jesus began to do and teach. So that means in Acts, he continues to do and teach, but he's doing it through Paul. So the Father and the Son have a mission which they fulfill through us, through the church. Because Paul is saying, I am commanded, but it's the quotes about Jesus. Why is Paul commanded when the quotes about Jesus? Because Jesus is continuing his mission. It hasn't stopped. We don't get to define the mission. There is one mission. It's Jesus' mission. And just because he's gone to heaven doesn't mean we come up with our own ideas. No, he's commanded Paul what to do, to preach the gospel, this message of light, bring salvation to all the nations. Why? Because Jesus began and is continuing to do, to teach and to do through the church. That's the same thing. It's his mission, which continues. We submit to it. We find out what it is in the Bible. We get our job description in the Bible, and we submit to it. We don't write our own job description. We don't have our own mission. We don't have our own bright ideas on this. It's all in Scripture because Jesus wants to continue the mission he started. He's not finished. Until he returns, that mission's not finished. So we go to the Scripture, and this, what is the mission? What is Bethel called to do? What is every local Christian church called to do? This is the mission, the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of God's salvation in Jesus Christ. This is the mission we have given from him, and what God's going to anoint, his work. What if we submit to him and we obey him, then he will anoint what he wants to do, not what we want to do. We submit to this, then the Holy Spirit will help us. But this is the mission, the mission of the Father and of the Son. It hasn't changed. Preaching the gospel, being a light. So we'll go to the second point. Like I said, we don't define the mission. Jesus is continuing his work. So what is the mission of the church? Point two in your outline. The mission of the church is to go to all nations and make disciples by proclaiming the gospel of God's salvation in Christ in the Spirit's power. That's our mission. That's the mission of every local church. It's his mission, and we do it in his power. This is what Jesus did. He proclaimed the gospel. That's what Paul was doing, and it was Jesus doing it through him. Jesus started in the Gospels. He continues in Acts, but he's proclaiming the gospel of salvation, God's light, to all nations in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did it, and Jesus will continue to do it. We can have hope for that. So we don't find the word mission used for the reference to the church, but the idea is everywhere. We've just seen it in those two verses. We don't say this is the mission of the church, but we see it in action. That's what they're doing. That's what Jesus is working through the church. But we can see also a little more detail about what God is calling Bethel to do, what he's calling us to do as Christians, at the conclusion of each gospel. Each gospel concludes with the resurrected Jesus giving a commission to his church. So this commission, and Paul's acting it out. He's preaching the gospel, making disciples. This commission is important because it's the conclusion of every single of the four gospels, each one of the four gospels. It's the climax of where it's going. So this is what we're, in the Bible, there's the Old Testament, there's the God working with Israel. Things work in sequence, and there's a sort of a storyline of a sequence. And it's the Old Testament, God's working there through Israel, then Jesus comes, Jesus dies, Jesus rises, and then Jesus comes back. But what happens in between? It's at the conclusion of those four gospels. That's what happens in between. The church is on a mission. The first example is in John chapter 20, verses 21 to 23. After he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. Well, that's verse 20. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. So this is the resurrected Jesus that comes in the room. Verse 21 in chapter 20. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So now we have, again, we don't have the mission word, but we have the word send, which is the idea of a mission. As the Father sent me, I send you. We're sent on a mission. We are sent ones. We are on a mission sent by Jesus here. And he tells us what the mission is. We don't have to make it up. He says, if you forgive the sins of anyone, then their sins are forgiven. It's the proclamation. We don't just go around, "Well, absolve your sins and that's not it. It's as we proclaim the gospel, we are saying God is offering you forgiveness of sins. If you believe in Jesus and his death for our sins, you are forgiven. If you do not receive the gospel and believe that Jesus died for your sins and that you're a sinner needing forgiveness, you are not forgiven. So it's not us going around declaring it. We do it as we proclaim the gospel, as we preach the gospel of what Jesus has done, and people's response will determine whether or not they're forgiven. But this is the mission. We have a proclamation. We have a gospel. We have a message. It's not just doing deeds. There's a message. And anybody watch news here on TV? One person. You hear a lot of stuff. News is proclaimed. The gospel means good news. We proclaim good news. It's not just deeds. We live it out. That's something else. But the gospel means good news. It's a message. The message of light is proclaimed. We have to tell people about Jesus dying for our sins. We have to tell people that God is king and we're accountable to him and that we are sinners. We have to tell people that we have forgiveness of sins and eternal life in the Holy Spirit. That's the message. We proclaim the message, and including forgiveness of sins. That's what salvation is, the forgiveness of sins. And here we're touching probably, there's a lot of things the church does. We need to help the poor. We'll come to that later. The whole humanitarian side and ministering to people and people's needs, and that's all important. But we have to put first things first. The first thing is our relationship with God, because that's the eternal thing. We can get so focused on fixing needs, and that's all good. I'm not saying as a disciple you are salt and light. We have to do it. There's no question in my mind. Pour out your love into people. Be salt and light. But that's a byproduct of being disciple. The first thing are the eternal things. We proclaim this gospel because it's their relationship with God. The deepest need people have is for forgiveness of sins. And we have to, if we get so busy on the other stuff, we get distracted from the central thing, is that people can go to heaven or they can go to hell. It depends on their relationship with Jesus. And the most important thing people need is the forgiveness of sins. That we have sinned against God, and because of that sin, God is a holy, righteous God who hates sin. He will judge it. We were under the wrath of God until we received that forgiveness. That's the number one thing we need to tell people. Jesus loves them. He died on the cross for them, and he took the wrath of God on himself so that it will not come on us for our sin. There is forgiveness of sin. What a message. Liberated from guilt. Wow. But that has to be the focus, because we can get distracted with all the other stuff. It's our eternal relationship. I can build you a house in the Dominican Republic and not preach the gospel and see you burning in hell for eternity. Do both, but keep the first things first and the byproducts. You do both, but do not neglect this message. We need God's burden, God's heart. People are lost. People need forgiveness of sins. People are really under the wrath of God. Do we still believe that? I've been going through Jeremiah. It's very evident he had wrath for his own people because they were unrepentant for years. And look at Revelation. Look what's coming. There is the wrath of God because he's good. He's righteous. He doesn't like it when people are killing each other, and he hates sin, and he will judge it after much patience and kindness. So people are under that, and we have to feel that and know that and believe that. And because we believe that's their eternal state, we will proclaim the gospel. We can't lose sight of that we are sinners under the wrath of God, and God loves us and has given forgiveness of sins. That's our priority. That's the mission of the church. That's what he sent in John, and he breathed on them with the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is given in the context of mission. The same thing in Luke and Acts. One of the main functions of the Holy Spirit is to give us the power to proclaim the gospel. In verse 21, there's a key idea still in John chapter 20. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So there's a shift here. Jesus was sent by the Father, but now the sent one becomes the sender. He is now the resurrected king. He has all the authority of the Father. And he says, okay, as the Father sent me, I send you. He's in the place of the Father sending now. We are the sent ones. And so we learn a lot. So as the Father sent Jesus, that's the model of the ministry. How do we do the ministry? The same way Jesus did it. Jesus said, I can do nothing save I see the Father do it. He depended on the Father. He obeyed the Father in everything. And then, so that's our model. So we obey Jesus in everything, and we depend on Jesus for everything. And as the Father sent me, so I send you. So the way Jesus did the ministry, we do it. If he healed the sick, he did the Father's works, we do the works of Jesus. If Jesus did the Father, spoke the Father's words, we speak the words of Jesus. So we heal the sick, we proclaim the gospel. As the Father sent him, that's our model. For our ministry, we cast out demons like he did. And if the Father was with the Son, then Jesus will be with us. Matthew 28, another great commission text. This defines our mission. We know it very well. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So now we have another definition of mission. It's making disciples of all nations. How do you make disciples? You baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, in the name of the Trinity, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all, not just part. He says all. It's a lifelong commitment. But he says, teach them to obey all that I have commanded you, and he'll be with us as we do this. This is our mission statement. Make disciples, not just in Woodstock. We need to be supporting missionaries, and we do, and I'm thankful for the heart of this church for missions. And we can send some out from the church also. We support with the MAC missions. We have two other missionaries we support also. That's part of it because it says to all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. It's not just Woodstock. It is Woodstock, but it's all nations also. And there's an implication here. Where is it where people get taught? Where do we baptize people? Where do we teach them the commands of God? In the church. That's what we're doing today. So the Great Commission implies that when we make disciples, not only do we preach the gospel, we establish churches where they can grow and be taught and be baptized. It's in the Great Commission. We establish churches to accomplish the discipleship of people. Mark 16, there's another Great Commission statement in Mark 16, verse 15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. So again, end of the gospel, we got another great commission. This is where the gospels always climax. We've seen three examples. This is what the church does until Jesus returns. So we have being sent. He says, go. That means we're sent. Again, it's all nations. And then here he adds, we heal, we pray for the sick, we cast out demons, we pray for the sick. So that goes with the gospel also. You proclaim it's the way Jesus did it. John says, I spoke the Father's words and I did my Father's works. And the context was healing. So as we proclaim the gospel, we pray for the sick and cast out demons. That's the way Jesus did it. That's the mission. Luke 24 is the last one. Luke chapter 24, verses 45 to 49. Thus he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. This is just what we saw in Acts. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you that my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So this is the message of light. Here he says it's repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So we preach forgiveness, but we also preach repentance. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The two have to go together. We call people to repentance to receive this gift. And he goes on in Acts. You'll see that look in Acts chapter 1. He mentions it again. Verses 4 to 5. On one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised you, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Spirit. And then verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So again, we see that like in John, we receive the Holy Spirit in this context. The Spirit does everything in the New Testament. We're born again by the Spirit. He does more than this. But Luke and John emphasize the giving of the Holy Spirit in the context of mission. We want to encounter God's power. We will encounter it in many different ways. But as we're doing this, as we evangelize and proclaim the gospel, the Holy Spirit will be there to help us. And then we'll be witnesses to all nations. So that's to summarize, what is the mission of the church? Well, the mission of the church is to go to all nations and make disciples by proclaiming the gospel of God's salvation in Christ in the Spirit's power. That's our mission. That's Bethel's mission. My last point in the outline, you can see our mission of making disciples involves gathering them into churches where they can grow in Christ. And I said, how do you teach? You know, if you're going to make disciples and teach them to obey all God's commands, how to baptize, you have to have a church. We'll see this in Acts. When Paul went out and he started preaching the gospel and he's out making disciples, what did he do? Acts chapter 14, verses 21 to 23. Then they preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. So this is what happens in the New Testament. They hear this command from Jesus, go into all the nations and make disciples. What do? They plant churches. He went around, he made disciples, he strengthened the disciples. He said, we're going to endure hardships. He was suffering. So part of the message that we need to be telling people is that we will endure hardships to enter the kingdom of God. We don't weaken people by warning them that there's hardships ahead of us. We strengthen them. We weaken people by telling them you're not going to have any hardships in your life, because then they're not ready and they collapse when it happens. No, he strengthened the disciples by telling them you will have hardships experience because light and darkness clash. You will have hardships as you enter the kingdom of God. And he strengthened them by telling them the truth. So, but he went around and he planted churches. He said he appointed elders for them in each church. So he made the disciples, he preached the gospel, he gathered them into churches so they can become disciples, because they had to hear the word of God and be taught the word of God. So discipleship presupposes the church. It tells us a couple of things. It shows us, it says he preached the gospel, and what these were converts. And so you can't be, first thing, you can't be a convert without being a disciple. A convert is a disciple. When you gave your life to Jesus, you gave him your life to him as Lord. And you become the servant, you become the disciple. A disciple is somebody who is a follower who imitates the master. And that's what we did. That's what conversion is. You have a master now, and you live as a disciple. And secondly, it shows that, so what happens at conversion, you become a disciple, you join a church. There's nothing, the Bible doesn't have individualistic Christianity. Here it's like, the whole point is that become a disciple, you become part of the church, you're baptized publicly in the church. So when you become a disciple of Christ, a believer, you're part of a church. That's what happened with Paul. And it also shows me that discipleship has to have the church. You can't be a disciple, okay, obey all Jesus' commands. What's his most important command, apart from loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Love one another, or love your neighbor. How do you love one another if you never meet together? So discipleship presupposes a church. And that's why Paul brings them into church. That's where we learn to love one another. So we can define... We can close with this. We can define what is the mission of the church. This is from a book by Kevin DeYoung and Greg Gilbert. They wrote a book called What is the Mission of the Church? This is their definition of the mission, which is pretty well what we've been saying. Mission of the church is to go into the world and make disciples by declaring the gospel of God's salvation in Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit, and by gathering these disciples into churches that they might worship the Lord and obey his commands. Want to know what Bethel is supposed to be doing? It's right here. That's our job description from God. Go into all the world, make disciples, preach the gospel, gather them into churches, teaching them to obey all that Jesus commanded so they can obey him and worship him. That's our job description. That's our mission. So to conclude, we can say that I mentioned this before, the last message on the church, but we need just sort of like a vision for the church, for Bethel. What is the vision? So what I've been trying to do in this series on the church is, okay, what is God's vision? Because I'm not gonna come up with my own. I don't want it. God, you have a plan. What is your plan for the church? So I want to submit to your mission. So, well, we combine the different things we've been talking about. Well, the church is the temple of the living God. So it's worship. The mission is about worship. We have a relationship with God. The church is the family of God. We have a love for one another. And the church is on a mission. We relate to the lost. So to put it all together, our vision statement for Bethel is, we want to be a worshiping family on a mission. Is that simple and clear? And it's scriptural. We want to be a worshiping family on a mission. Worship speaks of our relationship with God. We're getting a taste of it. And again, when we are the temple of the living God, God comes here and we experience his presence. We're on fire for Jesus. Worshiping. Family. We need to have love for one another and walk out. Discipleship is in the context of family. Together we call on God as our Father. And that in the Sermon on the Mount, it's all about discipleship. Well, it's our Father, together. So in the context of a family. Mission. Disciples on a mission. That's our relationship to the lost. Relationship with God, relationship with one another, relationship with the lost. All three have to be healthy to have a healthy church. So our vision is to be a worshiping family on a mission. We're going to put it on our bulletin. Kathy, we'll stick it on there. We'll change the thing up front. We got a mission statement. This is, and it's by God's grace. We're not there yet, but we'll get there. By God's grace, because that's his vision, and I have a full confidence that he'll give us the grace and the ability to do it because it's what he wants, and we're submitting to what he wants, so he's going to help us to accomplish it. So we said three things this morning. We said that the Father and the Son have a mission, which they fulfill through the church. Secondly, we said the mission of the church is to go to all nations and make disciples by proclaiming the gospel of God's salvation in Christ in the Spirit's power. We're not alone when we do this. And last, we said our mission of making disciples involves gathering them into churches where they can grow in Christ. Amen.